This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Good evening. Good evening, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Okay, we had a real fascinating night last night. We had President Trump and Vice President Biden. They both had the, it wasn't a debate. They answered questions from people in the audience, and they were on different channels. Trump was on NBC, and Vice President Biden was on ABC. So Trump was on 4 and Biden was on 7, but they were on at the same time, so you had to make a choice, or you might have been able to tape it, tape one, and then listen to the other. And then after the other one was done, then you could go back and listen to the other one. I don't know, however you wanted to do it. I know some people had to make reports about them, you know, like the news and all of that. So that's probably what they did. Or people like me, you can jump from channel to channel. Well, in my opinion, President Trump had people in his audience. It was like a town hall, I think that's what they call it, when the people in the audience have questions that they have written down that they want these candidates for president to answer as best they can, you know. A lot of times Trump would kind of, you know, just kind of discard the question because the young lady that was the moderator, she had asked him if he had been tested before he came out for his debate, and he said, maybe I did, and maybe I didn't. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm not laughing. Now, let's flip to Vice President Biden. He was asked if he had, you know, taken a test, and he said he had tested before he came out. So he's not afraid of testing. I don't know. Some people don't think that Trump really had the virus. They don't think he really did. I don't know. Only he or his family knows. I'm not sure. But his wife supposedly had it, and now their younger son is supposed to have it. But as someone said, when you have the virus, you just jump up in 5 days and do like President Trump has done, especially, and he still doesn't seem to really, really, really get the message of the mask. He said, you know, if he thinks it's important, he'll use it, you know. Other than that, it's no big deal. Now, I've heard today that you're, you know, protecting your mouth with the mask. You're protecting your nose. What about your eyes? So now they're advocating that you need to be protecting your eyes, that if you wear glasses or sunglasses, then, you know, that's a little better. But those that don't wear glasses, they're asking that, well, I take it back. Nobody's asking. It was just mentioned that, you know, you could wear a shield. And I've seen a lot of people with the long shield in front of their faces, which might seem to be a, well, if you are a female and you need to wear lipstick and all this and all that, you know, your face, maybe you want to be seen like that. I don't mind wearing a mask, and I do wear glasses, so doesn't matter to me, but I would probably, as a matter of fact, I already purchased a mask that had a plastic shield on it. I've just not used it. So, I mean, you know, to each his own, but you still need the mask. Let us not forget, you still need the mask. So, with President Trump's town hall, there was a young lady sitting behind him. Well, I just say a young lady. I don't know how young she was or how old she was, but she was sitting behind him, and as he would speak, her head would go up and down, and today on The View, they called her bobblehead. Now, I don't know anything about this person. She's supposed to have something to do with something. So, I think it's something with immigration. I don't see why she would be nodding so, because I think immigration would have something to do with those kids in cages. But, you know, it's just me. But Biden was very cool, he was very calm, and he was effective. And he has a plan. President Trump does not have a plan other than to do whatever he wants to do. And one of his ladies, when she stood up to ask him a question, well, she made a statement before she asked a question, and she was just smiling and smiling, and she complimented him and told him, oh, you have such a beautiful smile. And then she also told him that he looked very handsome when he smiled. Oh my gosh, if you could have seen his face. I mean, oh my goodness, between her drooling all over him and bobblehead behind him, it was an interesting evening, one that I could only tolerate for so long. But at any rate, I want my co-host to come in and he can make a comment.
Well, good afternoon, Jenny White.
Good afternoon to you.
TGIF.
I know that's right.
Yeah.
So did you watch the debate? Okay, let me bring the other person that talks to us, our co-host. Hey.
And who is that? Who would that be?
That would be
Miss
Payne.
All right,
Miss Payne. Hello.
Yes.
Sounds like she's way back in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Coleman, you can tell us what you were going to say.
Yes, I figured I'm doing something a little different today. I'm sitting here riding this recumbent bike through the show. So I'm
you're going to run out of breath?
I hope not. If I start breathing heavy, I'll stop cycling, but I should be good.
How long do you usually go?
Oh, I'm going to go to the end of the show.
No, but how long do you use normally go? An hour?
What, on the bike?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it depends. You know, normally if I'm on a Zoom call or doing something else, I've done 20 miles on in an hour and a half. I do about 6 miles in 30 minutes.
Okay.
And about, yeah. And about,
well, do they have any more?
I'm sure they do. but back to talking about Trump, I did see the debate yesterday. I thought it was quite interesting. I did like the hostess. You know, she seemed to have more control, and she asked.
Yeah, they
tough
said
questions.
She was good. They said she
yeah,
was really
she was good.
Yeah. Okay.
And I did see the bobblehead back in the back.
Oh, you noticed her too.
Co-signing
that was,
everything that
yes,
she was saying.
That was so distracting. That head just going up and down, up and down.
Well, I'm sure she was strategically placed. That's normally how that goes. But my opinion is, you know, he's a liar and he tries to control the narrative. And, you know, but the thing about it is that sometimes he tells the truth in between his lies, and so you may not know what the truth is,
right?
But he'll tell you exactly what he's going to do. He'll tell you exactly, you know, in regard to the Supreme Court pick, Amy Coney Barrett. You
what
know,
did he say about her?
Well, he said, you know, that this election, if he doesn't win, that it's going to go to the Supreme Court. So if he doesn't win, he's going to take it to the Supreme Court for them to decide.
Oh,
and,
are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Now, so, I mean, you know, he's trying to stack the court. And that's why they're pushing through, you know,
yeah,
this nomination.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they want to strike down Obamacare, you know, the Affordable Care Act. So they've got – that's in court right now. And so they've got a court date for that.
For
November
the 11th,
10th.
Isn't it? Oh, it's the 10th. Okay.
So, you know, he needs to have that judge in place. But, you know, there are things that he says that, you know, have some truth in it. So
didn't he say something about how much money he owed? I think
he talked on it, he spoke on it, but he said that, you know, his income is so large that, you know, that's you know how he talks. He uses those adjectives, you know. My income is so massive that, you know, that $412 million is a small number. So he didn't say who he owed it to, but he just said that it's such
right.
a small number. He's under leveraged, you know. So he just went on to say that if the New York Times has a copy of his tax returns, they got him illegally, even though he's not turning them in because he's still under audit.
Yeah, right. He's been audited for 4 years, and they're not done yet. How much auditing do they have to do?
But I've
crazy.
I thought it was quite interesting that Ice Cube has thrown himself into the conversation.
Yeah.
As of
I
late,
saw him. Mm-hmm.
With his
mm-hmm.
platinum plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he's working with the Trump committee or something. But he tried Biden. He said he tried Biden, and they told him
wait till after the election.
Wait till after the election, which makes sense. You know,
but, you
I
know,
mean,
Trump is trying to get every black vote he can get. So you
know,
come on in. And,
but he's
going to
be a why would he let someone use him like? Well, you know what?
Well,
I don't know.
Well, I don't think he thinks he's being used, but he is, because I heard a commercial the other day in the car, and Trump commercial, and they were talking about the Platinum Plan, which is the name of the plan Ice Cube came up with, and how, you know, they're going to generate 3 million jobs for, you know, African Americans. So they were telling a bunch of lies. So but they dropped the name of the plan, you know, to give it some credibility.
Right.
So, you know, he put himself in that position.
I don't know why he would. Well, people do different things. Look at Kanye's sister-in-law. Now she's
who is that?
Courtney.
Okay, what about her?
She is on Kanye's she's with him for president, and she has a cap, and she's selling a cap. His wife has not even come out with anything like that. So why would she jump in here at the last? You know, so many people have already voted, including myself. I've already voted. So what is somebody supposed to do? Run back and get their ballot and to say, well, I want to change my mind because, what did you say?
We confused the whole thing, yeah.
That, well, one thing for sure, you know you can't do that, because when I got there, I was told that they were sending me one. Now, I don't know how that works because I didn't ask for one. Neither did my husband, but he got his and he filled it out. So when I went to vote, I took his, you know, and they put it in the box. But then she asked me, she said, they're sending out one for you. Do you want to stay here and vote, or do you want to wait and, you know, vote with that one? And then you can come and bring it to us and put it in the mail. So I said, no, while I'm here, I'm going to vote. So I had to sign a piece of paper saying that, you know. So I asked her, what did I do with it? If it came, she said, you can just discard it. So, okay, that's what I'm going to do. But they are so out of sync. I did not ask for it. So, yeah, I don't know.
Did you vote absentee in the primary?
No, I did not. I did early voting. Which is what I am Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if you can stand in line, early voting, absentee vote, you sound like Trump now. Calling the same thing something different. See, you'd have been bamboozled and didn't even know it.
You know
no,
what?
I'm not
going to appreciate
it.
I'm cutting your mic off.
You done been bamboozled and didn't even know it.
How you going to do that? How do you go?
I didn't know what?
Okay. Prepare to be locked out.
Okay.
Anyway.
I didn't vote after
yes,
that.
Yes, sir. You done said too much. You just done talking
too okay.
much. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Anyway.
Well, if you voted early, there was a box that you could check that said you could automatically get a ballot sent to you for absentee voting for the general election. So that's why I asked. So maybe in the process of early voting, you check that box, and that's why they automatically sent it.
Well, you could be right. I'm not sure at this point, but yeah, I know.
You have to confuse it.
I know. The one thing that does not confuse me, though, is the fact that the United States' standing in the world, you know, we are not looked upon as a powerful nation like we used to. I mean, we just gone down in the dirt. And you said that if he doesn't win, he's going to take that to the Supreme Court.
Supreme Court. Well, I mean, they gave an example of how the same thing happened before when Bush and Gore were running against each other. And the vote came down to Florida. And it was so close that it automatically stirred a recount.
Oh, I remember that was with the Chads, wasn't it? Wasn't they talking about the Chads?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was while they were recounting, the governor, the Republican governor, Rick Scott of Florida, took it to court and had them halt the counting of the ballots. And so when they did, Bush was ahead by 500 votes. And so that's how he won. And ultimately, Gore succeeded, you know, the fact, you know, that he lost, which in essence, and I can't remember exactly how it went, but the Republicans had done something and got 637 ballots. And I can't remember exactly where it came from, but, you know, this was at the last minute that they got those counted. And so George Bush ended up beating him by 500-some votes. You know, they were so that close. And so I think, and one of the things I also found out was that three of the people that were involved in that Supreme Court dealing was Roberts, the chief of the Supreme Court, the chief judge. He was involved in that. Gorsuch, the new Supreme Court justice, was involved in that back in 2000, 2001. And Amy Coney Barrett, I believe she may have been a clerk or whatever she was at that point. Her name was in the paperwork, but she was involved in some capacity as well. So the question was, do you think it's a coincidence that three of the people that were involved in the election going to the Supreme Court just so happened to be
on the Supreme
Two
Court?
Two of them are already on the court, and one of them is getting ready to be confirmed. So is that a coincidence?
No.
You know,
not at all.
You know, right. How coincidental is that?
And she claims
so that's
she's
what
not
we're dealing with.
A pawn.
Yeah, well, she lying.
Oh, I know that. She held her little notebook up and said, I don't have any notes. Yeah. Okay.
She's got seven kids, too.
Yeah, and I saw one
black
one. Yeah.
Two black.
Mm-hmm. Well.
So I guess they've been adopted.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean,
I mean
anything to me. I don't care.
Yeah, well.
It is what it is. And he told them when Obama was going to choose that don't let him choose. Wait till the new president comes in and let him choose. Now he's telling them, well, I got to rush her in before the election because he has a feeling that he is not going to win.
Well, I mean, he's behind in all the polls, you know, so.
That's the fool you. That can be just a trick
to
make you feel comfortable.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
true.
Get
lax. That's
true. And then
they
still win.
That's true. I mean, you say, well, yeah, he's ahead in the polls. Okay, you know, okay, I don't need to go vote. And
yeah,
then he win. Right. Yeah, it's definitely closer than they say it is. You know, Biden's up by 10 points here. He's up by, you know, 11 points, 15 points here, you know. Yeah, I don't believe that.
A lot of these people say they don't, you know, depend on polls. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm just hoping against hope that he does not get back in. I don't care what he takes to the Supreme Court. Hopefully, since their jobs are secure, maybe, and just like Roberts didn't go along with the ACA before, and he didn't vote it down, maybe he will be just as just, you know, if Biden did win and Trump got upset, because he doesn't want to go to jail.
Nobody does.
No, I don't. Well, anyway. yeah, so much for Biden. Okay. Turning the page. What else can we talk about?
I was on Facebook today listening to, just reading through Facebook, and someone asked a question about what did they think of President Obama and his wife, your former President Obama and his wife, when they were in the White House. And a lot of people said that they liked it, that he knew what his job was, he did it in spite of all. And he had very good ratings from a lot of people. And I was surprised to see that most of those people, even taking the time to comment, were white people. And I saw one negative, and one person said, well, he didn't really care about the black people like they thought he would. But one thing, when you take that type of an office, you're supposed to be a role model to your citizen, a role model. Well, you know, when President Obama took it, the kids were just happy. They felt that there was someone there that, you know, he held their attention, you know. When I first saw him while he was campaigning, I was sitting in the doctor's office, and he was in Germany as a campaign, I mean, as a presidential running for president. There were over 20,000 people in Germany, and they all were cheering and cheering and cheering like he had taken the election already. And he was a very good person. I feel as far as foreign policy, he tried to hold everything together. And he did. He sanctioned Russia about two or three times. I mean, he stayed in there behind, you know. He went out.
And that's why they won't. That's why they won't.
Yeah, that's what he did. He sanctioned them. He hit him. He hit him in the pocket. He hit him in the pocket where it would hurt through those sanctions. He did. He didn't have to shoot a bomb over into Syria. The prime minister of Israel, He said, you think that we have to fight all the time? He said, President Obama didn't do that. He put those sanctions on him and stuff, and made that man stop killing his people. Wasn't it poison gas or something he was using?
I don't know.
Was it Syria? One of the countries over there. But then when President Trump got in, he went and shot a bomb over there. Like, here, the big dog is here. Those people got bombs, too. They've got it. They're ready for you. They'll ride the bomb down into the White House, and they'll be riding it just to get you out. You know, let's say.
Right.
But you know, as a leader, you're supposed to make people feel comfortable. And this one comment that I saw on Facebook, this man said, this person, I think it was a man or a woman, she says, I was able to sleep at night. I was able, and I wasn't afraid to go to sleep when he was president.
Oh, okay. Obama?
She said, I was able to sleep at night. I wasn't afraid.
He said he was the president of everybody. He said he was the president of everybody.
He said he made mistakes, but tell me who don't.
Oh, yeah. But Trump has never said that.
Most of them have beautiful comments to say, and I was reading, and I wasn't through reading all the comments, that many comments.
Well, he didn't have anything. He didn't have anything.
He didn't have really anybody backing him either. When we lost
right.
in those midterm elections and all that Congress changed, he said, I'll do what I can with whatever. And he knew how he could use the executive order. The first thing President Trump did when he got into office, he looked at the 14th Amendment, I think that's the Citizenship Amendment, and tried to make some changes using his executive order. He said, you can't do that.
Right
you
away.
To, go through to change people's citizenship. That made us citizens and everybody else, you know, citizens. All
if he could.
Tried to change this.
If he
not
could,
an executive
he could
order
get rid
thing.
Of. If he could, he'd get rid of all the black people, too.
Yeah, he would
and
try to, you know, everybody else's citizenship but his own.
I don't
know, but
understand.
But you're supposed to make your people feel comfortable, that they can trust you. Like he would say, well, drink this to get rid of this is us. Some people did that.
They
trusting in his word.
Some bleach.
It was horrible. Why would you tell people that? You think you can't joke like that. You're supposed to say that you care about them more than yourself.
That was no joke. And the poison people, you know, that they call when something happens, said their telephones went down. They crashed because so many people were calling them to ask them. Now, people called them to ask them if it would be okay for them to inject bleach. Can you believe that a sane person?
They're scared. They're dying. They're scared. They are afraid.
Yeah, but why would
and
you believe anything
like
that comes out of Trump's mouth?
It is. You know, you're over people who are relying
have
on you.
Saying
we're saying
rally?
We're putting our trust in you, you know, and as president and all this, and I'm going to make America great again. And we're the laughing stock of the entire world.
Yes,
China's getting
are.
Ready to arm its people to fight. He wants to put a certain type of ammunition, a missile or something, over near China and that island. That's not theirs, and China says, no, they're not going to put it. We have to fight to take that island over. He's not going to bring it here. He's already made fun of our soldiers. How many generals do we have left? Over the seas and everything. Are our men out there on those boats sick? Do they have the coronavirus running rampant out there?
They did.
These are people we have to talk to. We might still have it. They just don't talk about it. They're just not talking about it. But we really don't know. At this point, there was some statement. She said, I'm able to sleep. I was able to sleep when he was in office in 8 years. I can't sleep right now. You know, you don't know what's going to happen from time to time. And let's say the coronavirus just devastates the black neighborhood. And he's walking around like everything's fine. I don't think he really had it myself. I don't.
No, I don't.
What is it giving him that they didn't give up, you know?
Whoopi says she didn't believe it either.
I don't know.
Yeah,
think
he would
have
been a lot sicker, you know, considering he's overweight and what other health issues
he
has.
So what was
he
trying to do?
Corona.
Get sympathy? Was he trying to get sympathy?
And
maybe they would vote for him if he's sick? Who want to vote for somebody that's sick?
he had
what they call coronavirus.
Like
they
Superman,
all got coronavirus.
So.
What are they getting that we didn't get? And it, Debbie, like I said, it's killed all those people. All those black people. His phone was jumping off the hook. People calling, crying. I can't see my mama. She's gone. I can't. This happened. They were going crazy.
Yeah.
Calling him.
Yeah, well, I heard.
He said, what can you tell a person when it's
here? You better not take that vaccine. Horns and a tail.
With the
I wouldn't take. I don't take flu shots, pneumonia shots, whatever shots. I don't take any of that crap.
Well,
I can't forget when they
come up,
when that Tuskegee experiment, when they gave all those people syphilis.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I
and
don't.
You
trust
don't. You
government.
Know. You,
they might be. You know. Trying to.
We know we're not.
Yeah.
You
I'm
don't
not
take
doing
that vaccine,
that.
You might not be able to buy no groceries.
He's trying to tie that into it. Yeah.
How?
Well, I mean, you know, they.
I didn't hear that.
They were. I said, if you don't take that vaccine,
that
you might not be able to buy groceries.
Is that something he said?
He didn't say that, but you know, the thing is,
it's been rumored
behind us. You
they
know,
may add something
you,
to it.
And Bill Gates comes from a family that, you know, believed in eugenics, which is population control.
That is
so
true.
You know, you can, I've seen videos of Bill Gates giving vaccines to African children. And he's not a doctor, you know, but he's behind this vaccine, and he's even talked TED Talk, you know, and you can Google this, where he says that if it's done right, you know, it'll probably eliminate 10% of the population. I mean, this came out of his mouth, you know, and so it's an agenda, and the thing is with
I thought he was a good guy.
Well, that's what
and
he
wants no
you to think.
Thing. There's no such thing.
Right. Not when it comes to billions and trillions.
What good would it do for him? And
it'll
why would he
money.
Want if there are less
well,
people?
Well, like you said, population control. Who they think should be here, who they think that should not be here.
Okay.
Pretty much. And, I mean, if they can get it to where, you know, you take this vaccine, it's possible. Now, this is a conspiracy theory, but, I mean, it has a lot of legitimacy to it and a lot of valid points, that part of the RNA and the cells that they are cultivating for this vaccine will cause genetic mutations in the human cells. So just like they've got GMO fruits and vegetables, they're going to have human 2.0. So they even said that it'd be to the point of where with this vaccine, you know, you'll have to like put a Band-Aid on, which will have little spikes in it that will, you know, inject into your body, your bloodstream, pierce your cells, and it'll have some illumination to where if you have an app or something on your smartphone, you can put it over the place where you vaccinated yourself, and it'll, you know, show that you were vaccinated. And so when Trump talks about the light, you know, it's being a part of the cure, that made sense to me when I heard that part about the vaccine causing an illumination in your that area where you, you know, put the Band-Aid on or get injected. And so with that, the cells will be mutating, and it said it'll be to the point where it'll almost be where somebody can be at a computer and actually changing things in your body, or, you know, be able to say, you know, your blood pressure is this, your blood sugar is this, you know, be able to make some changes in your body. But it's real freaky. And part of one of the companies, Moderna, is a pharmaceutical company, and it's founded by a guy I think went to Harvard, and he came out with he was able to do some spectacular never made a vaccine, but he was able to do something with themselves. And so this will allow people to get patents on different things within the vaccines. And they say what really changed, and they say, you know, Dr. Fauci, what's his name?
Yeah, Fauci.
Yeah, they say, you know, he's kind of behind this too, you know. They're kind of pushing him out like the good guy. But Fauci's been around a long time. And,
right.
You know, he's promoted some things that haven't been popular at times. You know, some people have just been introduced to him now, like me. But if you go back and research some of the things that the younger Dr. Fauci was promoting and advocating for, you'd be real surprised and real skeptical of some of the things that are coming out of his mouth right now, because Trump is playing bad cop. He's playing good cop. So you leaning more towards what Fauci says, as far as if he says it, then I believe it. But I think that you need to be looking at him with a side eye too, because I think the whole thing is a big conspiracy.
Yeah.
You know, and I think people only see, you know, what the news is promoting and the numbers of dead people and the people that are dying, and you know, but it's a big plan behind this, and I think that some people aren't thinking that deeply. You know, people want to be trusting and want to believe the good in people, when there's a whole group of people behind the scenes
calling the shots.
Calling the shots. And I don't know if you guys saw any of the confirmation hearings, but there's a senator, Whitehouse, who's a Democrat from Rhode Island, used to be the attorney general in Rhode Island, who had he had boards, and he made points of where all this dark money is coming from in the political system, and how the Federalist Society is a conduit to receive this money from anonymous donors, and they choose the judges. Now, this is where Judge Amy Coney was selected from, the Federalist Society. Gorsuch came through the Federalist Society, and some donor wrote a $17 million check to advocate for him to get on the Supreme Court. And he was saying that, okay, the public doesn't know where the money came from. You know, I don't know where it came from, but he said somebody knows who wrote this $17 million check for this man to get on the Supreme Court. And what did they get in return for the $17 million? So, the Republicans they passed laws to make it legal for big corporations and big donors to be able to donate money into politics anonymously. And he said they want to keep it that way. But he just pointed out how Coney was selected and how she got to where she was, and all the money behind her. I mean, it was so deep. All you can do is just sit there with your mouth open looking at it like, okay. You know, it's a lot of people that know what's going on, but just don't have the number of votes to change it, or the number of people interested in changing it. I mean, I'm sure it's a whole bunch of Democrats getting money that don't want that to change either. Not just Republicans. I'm sure it's a whole lot of Democrats leaning toward keeping the thing status quo.
Well, I read somewhere months ago that Trump had something to do with the virus. So it kind of goes with what you're saying. Someone created the virus for a purpose to do exactly what it has done.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it's saying the more people that, you know, sheltering in place, you know, it weakens your immune system, you know, because you do need to be exposed to a certain amount of germs, you know, so your body can
build up
resistance and fight them off. Yeah. But, you know, you become a hermit and staying in the house, you know, least little thing gonna take you out when you get out there.
That's what somebody was saying, that they're changing everything now. It used to be when the pandemic first came out, everybody was running out of toilet tissue and paper towels, and said now what they're doing is they're buying furniture and rearranging.
Rearranging
things because they're going to spend more time inside. So, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. Hey, the only thing I have to say is we have to keep real close to the Father, because he knows what's going on. We don't. We may have a little piece of what's going on, and they may be trying to control population. That's crazy. That is crazy. Sounds to me like a little bit like the 3 6s. If you don't have them, you can't buy or sell. And you're talking about
barcodes. Yeah, you'll be marked.
Well, these
you gonna be marked.
Yeah, and some people are already marked now because they're getting these little whatever it is they put under your skin, and you can put it to the door and the door open. They said keeps them from having to make out a lot of badges or whatever. And some of these people are just as happy, you know, with that craziness. So I don't know. I wouldn't. They can't.
Well, I don't
put
know exactly what you're talking about in that regard. I haven't heard that.
You haven't seen that? Yeah, they've had that on television where you put the little whatever you put under your skin, and when you go to the office, you just put your hand up. And it opens your door. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, it's going on. It's going on.
Just like
real.
They inject, you know, the little, forgot what they call it, into your pets, you know, so you can scan the pet's neck and,
you can
and all the information comes
locate
up.
Locate
you know.
Them.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I'm sure that, you know, there are some people that are being located too. I'm sure. Don't let that, that's called wife technology. While you're sleeping, you feel the little pinch in your butt and be like, oh, oh, sorry, honey. yeah, okay.
Well, let us hope.
Where you at? Right. Find a friend. Where you at? I'm at work. You work next to the bar now?
Yeah, well, you know.
Technology. Yes. Feel a little pinching on your butt at 2 in the morning. Ooh, what was that? Must have been a spider.
Yeah,
right.
Okay, spider. Yeah, well,
she's looking at her phone, tracking you down.
And, you know, it's a lot of stuff that's going on. Some we may have a little bit of, and other stuff is some deeper than that we have no idea about. I don't know what they're doing to our soldiers, and they're coming back with, you know, all of the, well,
problems.
That's a hard road to hoe if you're going out fighting for somebody.
Well, they're saying that about you. And your life is on the line.
Your life, and call you a loser when you die. Now, you know, that's a bad deal.
I know President Obama went over there where they were. He He went over there where they were when he was in office. He went over there where they were. He was trying to save a lot of soldiers' lives, too, by more diplomacy and other things that he could do with his office. They said, no,
well,
he's really not. He's like, we're chickens. No, he was trying to save lives.
Well, don't forget, Trump had done more for black people than anybody other than Abraham Lincoln. Don't forget that.
Abraham Lincoln did
more for us than God ever has.
Somebody said he was the most popular man in the world. He said, no, there's only just one person more popular than me. That's God.
Who
like,
said
oh,
that?
Now he's religious.
We in trouble. We definitely in trouble.
Trump did.
I know that's right. When he stopped.
Well, I was looking for the lightning behind that thing.
I know that's right. No, he's not the most popular, because if he was, he would be on Time Magazine for real. He put his picture on Time Magazine and put it in his resorts, his golfing places. And they told him to take that down because that is not real. he wants his face to be carved at Mount Rushmore. Please. What, as the worst person in the world? Please. He wants to be up there on the mountain. He thinks he is the king, you know.
Well, have y'all heard this? On the $20 bill, on the back side.
Yes.
If you look real close, you'll have to get a magnifying glass.
Black man hanging.
Yeah, it's a black person hanging.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look real close, you know, really magnified, it looks like it. And I wouldn't be surprised. You know, they've got the pyramid with the seeing eye on it. So, you know, that's part of the Masons, and I mean, everything has a meaning, but unless you know
and
you look for it, I mean, you know, all that stuff has a meaning. People, you know, they don't know, they take the money, spend it, put it in their pocket, whatever, but all that stuff, it's a lot of black magic and evil sorcery type of things that have gone on. And that are going on around us, you know. And
we don't
always,
know. We're just some day-to-day people.
But we're not aware. Yeah, we're not aware of it.
Yeah, and I always say that if we could see the supernatural, if, you know, if you could just imagine this, if you were, say, in the supermarket, and you know how people, you know, everybody doing their thing, grocery shopping or whatever, but if you could see what you can't see, the invisible, if you could see like the spirit around
you,
what would that look like? I'm sure it looks scary. I'm sure, you know, it would be, you know, it'd be some scary stuff. You might have somebody, a spirit following you that, you know, you have no idea, but, you know, you got some angels protecting you, you know, keeping you from a lot of that stuff. But if we could see, if we're driving down the street, you know, if we could see it, I mean, everything looks great to us, you know.
I don't
want to
see
day.
All of that.
I
know what you're saying.
In an alternate universe, this is probably things that are going on. You know, just live our life and don't even see.
And that's a good thing.
It's good.
That's a good thing. Every day I pray for that hedge of protection to be around us. And I call out our names.
Yes, I do.
So, you know, I'm not worried about them little imps, because I know who's walking right along beside me.
That's when your faith comes in, your faith in God and His Word. And His Word.
True.
You have to have faith in His Word. God who speaks His Word.
You have to have faith. You have to. You can't go around, you know.
Not just having faith in your faith, but faith in God.
Yeah. Because you get all of this stuff going on in the world. Oh, my God.
Right.
Oh, my God. you talk about what do we call folks come from the guys that come from the battlefield with the what is it?
Soldiers PTSD.
PTSD, yeah. But you know what? You get PTSD without going to battle.
They were saying that was a part of the slaves. The slaves had that post-traumatic stress disorder.
I bet they did.
I think it's psychology.
Epigenetics. That's, you know, when trauma is passed down through your genes to different generations.
Yeah, that's a big thing, yeah.
Yeah, epigenetics. Yeah.
It's a very big thing. True.
I believe it. And also, you know, they were talking about how when civil rights started with Lyndon B. Johnson and the, you know, black women started depending on the government, you know, for the food stamps, Section 8, you know, assistance that kind of moved the black man out of the family, you know, to where they weren't depending on him as much, you know, and if the government says you're receiving this money, you can, you know, you can't have. You can't have a man in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, was a big thing about breaking up the black family structure.
Right.
Oh, man.
Night Riders. If you this one's a woman was a worker, she said back then when you got on welfare and you said you and your husband were separated, they would send you down to the court to file for divorce.
Oh.
And a lot of times the Night Riders would come and knock on your door at night and your husband may have to grab his pants and run out the back door.
That's
a story that's been told for the long.
That's not funny, but I bet it's true.
Oh yeah.
You said they would make you go to divorce court.
They make you go to file for divorce. Yeah.
Wow, never heard that.
Oh
but
yeah,
I believe it.
It was something when it started. Then they kind of run an ADC. That's ADC for the unemployed. In other words, the man is in the house. We're going to work with him. That's how my father got his job, you know, because they wouldn't hire him coming from the South. You didn't have this. You didn't have that. You know, so he did other things within the community to try to, you know, make a living. But then they sent him the McNamara Training Skills years ago when that first started. And they taught him how, you know, back then there was a type of a way that black men could look at you something. You just show up to them once and they could use the instruments and go on and do the job. Nah, you know, but anyway. So they put him into McNamara Skills Training School. And he had to start going to school and he would go every day. And my mother would do his homework. Now, he wasn't a paper man. You know, he could, but my mother would sit there and figure out, she'd be up all night and figure problems and everything and write everything in. And he could go and put his name on it. And he'd go in and get the work in. And then they sent him into, you know, to do the laboratory. He went in and did the job, you know. It was no problem.
I heard that.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah, that's the way they were then, you know. And when he graduated, and I was even when I was working for social services, this one man told me he was a zone manager when he finally was when I was leaving. And he said, "Do you remember my mother? Because my mother really was a trip." He said, "I remember the look on your father's face when he got his paper, his machinist paper. In other words, he was saying, now they can't tell me I don't have no paper. I can do the job." And he started working for Rockwell Standards when it was downtown. And he worked. And then they wanted to transfer him to, I think they were going to Texas. My mother said, "No, I'm not going to no Jim Crow state." So anyway, that's when he started working. He found a job at American Standard. And he worked there for 20-something years. And that's where he retired from. But like he was saying, I could look at your father's, I could still remember from years ago that he was saying, "Now they can't tell me that I ain't got no paper. I got a paper now to say I can do the job." He learned it. He knew what he was just showing the instrument. He could use all that stuff. He came home when he retired. He had this big, huge casing with all his tools in it and everything.
All right.
For 20-something years, just working. You know, he could do the job, but they didn't have they found some way to keep him out of the mainstream, and he was able to get a
pension
and stuff. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're doing that now. Yeah.
You
need a bachelor's degree almost to work at McDonald's.
I know that's right.
Get $15 an hour, right?
After
you, got $100,000 in debt.
school loans.
Yeah.
School loans.
Yeah, so. So, you know, they're still making it hard for you, and they're taking away affirmative action, you know, so.
If you get a chance, I'm just saying.
Harder.
If you get a chance, listen to YouTube, listen to Bishop T.D. Jakes. He's talking about dancing in the desert. And he was talking about how this year has been really hard, dramatic for people, especially for black people. He's talking about with Mary when they came across the Red Sea. And Mary and Moses' sister grabbed the tambourine and started dancing. That the enemy was gone, and he was been saying how hard it has been, you know, because he's been hit, you know, all of this, and he's talking about how even in the desert, you know, she said because your enemy is gone. He's talking about what we have been facing, you know, us being turned back into the field, so to speak. It's a very good sermon. It's not that long, but he was preaching.
Well,
okay.
But since you mentioned that. Like to say that this is the 25th year that the 25 years ago there was the Million Man March.
Oh,
wow. 96,
and I know when two young men that I knew drove to Washington.
95.
And
Derek went with us.
I know. And on the way back, somebody let a 14-year-old under the wheel so they could go to sleep.
I was tired.
I didn't. And that other one is listening as well. I just want to let you know.
Yeah, I gave him some pictures. So I need to see if he know where they at. Yeah.
Sir, Dr. Coleman, did you hear that?
Yeah, Million Man March.
Oh, he's not talking.
Yeah. I heard it.
You heard it? Did
yeah,
you remember?
Yeah, I remember clearly.
Yeah. That was very upsetting.
1995, huh?
For somebody to be under a wheel that didn't know how to drive.
Well, I mean, evidently he knew how to drive. We arrived alive. Because
we're all safe. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't get that dead, you know.
Yeah, okay.
So he was all right.
Yeah, well, I wasn't a happy camper when I heard that. Mm-hmm.
But just looking at 25 years, have things
25?
Really changed or has it gotten worse?
No, it hasn't changed. I mean, some things have changed, but, you know, they're
the thing
still
is
the same.
The men have gotten older, and a lot of them have died off.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's sad to say that, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's sad.
I think that.
What do you think?
I think that initially coming back from that, there was. It was empowering, and inspirational, and it made you feel proud to be a black man. Can't say that much has changed. I know that in a lot of circles that I've been in corporate America, I've been the only black man in the room. And sometimes I don't notice until I notice,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I'm the only
mm-hmm.
black person there. So I don't think a lot has changed in that sense. I think as far as black people, supporting black people, you know, I used to try to well, I used to have men's breakfasts. You know, I throw men's breakfast, I think once a month, and found it very hard to get support from that, you know, for the brothers to come out. And maybe I was dealing with the wrong brothers, you know, but.
Well,
didn't you start
the thing for the kids, though?
Yeah, I did a dad's club, and that was that was very supportive. You know, the dads were very supportive. And a number of them just wanted to be, you know, supportive of their children. And then the camaraderie we had as men, you know, was great. And the support we had from the mothers was even better, you know. So that was one of the better experiences I've had in my mentoring career.
You still in contact mm-hmm. with any of them?
Some of them. We don't get together as regularly as we should. I don't reach out to them very, you know, as often. And, you know, some of them don't reach out to me, but I did. I was able to establish some friendships through that. I got to the point where I felt like, hey, the people ain't checking on me. You know, why should I waste my time checking on certain people? And that's not necessarily the way to be, because that's not really my character. You know, if I think about you, I'm going to call and check on you, you know, regardless.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes that's what it takes for real people. You know, I think real people connect.
Beyond yourself.
Way. Yeah, I mean, you know, but sometimes you'd be like, you know, during this pandemic, ain't nobody checking to see if I'm still alive.
Hmm.
You know, or maybe some of the people you would hope would check on you. You know,
yeah,
but you got
I
other
know.
People checking on you. So I think, you know, you need to invest your energy with the people that's looking out for you and call.
You know,
them
I talked to my son
want.
About that, and he said, "Mama, why should I do it? I know you're gonna call me. I know you're gonna text me. So if I know if you text me, I know you're okay." I said, "But it'd be nice to get it." He said, "Mama, I know you're okay. You let me know you're okay." All that texting and checking and all of that.
Yeah,
so
well,
you said I love you. He said, I know you love me. That's sad.
Well, sometimes, you know, people take things for granted or take us for granted.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
And sometimes we got to put them to the test. And, you know, I had a friend like that. You know, we talk every day. I mean, I talked to him at one point more than I was talking to anybody. You know, we talk about our problems and everything. Sometimes misery loves company, you know, and then when you start doing better, you know, people kind of get funny. But, you know, my wife said, he ain't really your friend. Like, we go way back. She's like, you know, hey, I done seen things, and, you know, I don't think he's really your friend. So I said, you know what? I'm not going to call him, and I'm going to see how long it takes for him to call me.
Yeah.
So
you're
I didn't
still
call
waiting.
Him in. I'm still waiting. It's been over 10 years.
Oh, wow.
You know, I've seen him a couple of times out in the streets, but, you know, he's never picked up the phone to call me.
Yeah.
So, you know, that showed me right there. You know, I had to
Is
put
that
him to
the one
test.
You got shot for?
Well, I didn't get shot for nobody, but no. No, it
you
wasn't
know.
Him.
Okay, well. Okay.
I ain't get shot for nobody, but. Yeah.
Well, you was running after
We
somebody.
Had a great show. You know, just talking about.
A lot of things.
A menagerie of different topics.
Yeah.
Open mic.
Very good.
Yeah, so I don't think we really invited the listening audience to participate in our open mic session tonight, but I hope they enjoy listening.
Yeah, well, so do I. Is that your final statement?
Yeah, that's my final statement. I've been riding this bike for 60
Oh, you're
minutes,
still on the bike.
Yeah, and got 13 miles in.
I forgot you were on there.
Yeah, I got my exercise in on this Friday night, so now I can go and have a beer.
Okay.
I've burned all
gonna,
my calories off, so I can go and
I'm going to tell Carolyn.
Who are you talking about? Oh, okay. I was about to say, that ain't my wife's name. My wife's name's Sonya.
Don't get them mixed up now.
Yeah, I want to hear what you talk about. Who you going to say?
So tell it all.
This is the teacher of the class. We both participate in the class, and so, you know, she's a dietitian. So you can tell her. I'm going to tell her, too. And I got an 8 o'clock tea time in the morning, so I'm going to go get a good night's sleep, and it's going to be real chilly in the morning, but I'm going to have a ball. Yeah, got to enjoy it before the snow hit the ground. So that's it. Any final words tonight, Ms. Payne?
Love you.
Love you, too. It's always a pleasure talking with you. How about you, Jenny White? What's your closing remarks?
Okay. Okay. I think the show was nice. We talked about the presidential people, and I'm just hoping against hope that this nomination or the voting will come out on the side that the people needed to be
heard.
I mean, we need to be heard, but we need to have hope. And I'm hoping that the voting will come out on the good side. And Dr. Samaj, would you like to have a final say?
No, not really. You said it all yourself.
Okay, well, I'd like to say I'm moving different because I want different. Old keys won't unlock new doors. So having said that, I'm saying have a great weekend. Don't forget to wear your mask, wear your gloves, you know, keep your eyes, you know, if you can, get one of those shields that come down. Do whatever you can to keep your safe and other people safe, you know. And that's it. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Good night.
This has been the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. God bless everybody. Good night.